You, Ashley, turning your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalm 77. And if you have an old Schofield Bible, it's page 636. And we have people that are ordering them. Seems like every week we've had to order a Schofield Bible for someone because they want to get in on the page numbers. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You remember when Brother David Butts, our missionary to Romania, was with us, and they were giving away Bibles on the mission field, and they told the gypsy children that in order to receive their own Bible, they had to memorize the 66 books of the Bible in order. And it took them about a week, and they all did it. and they wanted a copy of God's Word. So maybe if we took all your Bibles away from you and said, we'll give them back when you've learned the 66 books, that would, no? We're spoiled in America, you know? How many of you have more than one Bible? Almost everyone's hand is up, and so I guess that wouldn't work. But in the meantime, we'll call out the page number, I guess. Psalm chapter 77, verse number 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely, I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared Thy strength among the people. Thou hast with Thine arm redeemed Thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw Thee, O God, the waters saw Thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of Thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and Thy path in the great waters, and Thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest Thy people like a flock in the hand of Moses and Aaron. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would add Your blessing to this, the reading of Your Word. Illumine our minds to its truth. And may we see its relevance for this moment. I pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted in our midst today. Lord, would You meet the need of every heart? And especially, Lord, if there be one here who is uncertain of their eternal destiny, may today be the day of salvation for them. For this I pray and ask in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. In verse 2 we read, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. This morning's message is titled, The Day of Trouble. The Day of Trouble. I don't suppose that there's anyone here that knows anything about that. But just in case there's anyone here who knows a little bit about trouble, let me tell you that you are amongst many friends today. Because the Bible tells us that as the sparks fly upward, so a man is born for trouble in Job and chapter 5. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 4, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And so today we recognize that it is not a strange thing, but rather it's a common thing when trouble comes. And inevitably, it will find its way to our house. How many of you here, by way of testimony, could say that I know a little something about the day of trouble? Let me see your hand. All right. I think that's everyone here. But how do we deal with trouble when trouble comes? I submit to you that there are many people that know what to do, and yet when trouble comes, they fail to do it. How many of you have ever been in that scenario? My hand is up along with you. And there are some that don't know what to do, and they throw their hands up in despair, and ultimately the Lord leads them to where they ought to be. It's a funny thing. And so today I'm not going to presume that every person in here that's experienced trouble knows precisely what to do, or that if you know what to do, you will actually do it. Several years ago, back in the middle 70s and into the 80s, there was a pastor who was of much renown, was on television and often a featured speaker on popular Christian programming and preached on the old-time gospel hour. He had the largest church of any kind in the state of Kentucky for many years. He was an author, a journalist, a revivalist, a preacher, and a pastor. And perhaps if I named his name, many of you would know who I was referring to. And trouble came to his household. And there was infidelity in the marriage. And he stepped down from his ministry and suffered tremendous loss and disgrace. And he set about to try to rebuild his life. And after a number of years, he was working in the securities industry. And one day, after trying to rebuild his marriage and get some semblance of a life back, he had reached a place financially where he was beginning to prosper. But he was involved with an organization that was not entirely honest in their security dealings. And one day he came back from lunch and got into his car to drive back to his office. And he turned on the radio only to hear his own name mentioned in a report that said fraud charges would be brought against him in a securities indictment. And not only did he lose his ministerial career, he lost then his secular professional reputation and his credibility, and he felt he had lost everything. He drove to his office and parked in his stall, took a .357 revolver and stuck it in his mouth and blew his brains out in the day of trouble. He pastored the largest church in the state of Kentucky. He was a Baptist minister. He taught at a Christian university. He wrote books and counseled others on what to do in the day of trouble. And when the day of trouble came, knowing what to do, he did not do it. Here we find the psalmist writing today in the Scriptures, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And I want you to notice with me today, and perhaps we can easily identify with the psalmist as we go through this passage today, would you see, first of all, the circumstance that he was in. The circumstance that he was in. And we notice here in verse 2, he said, in the middle part of that verse, my sore ran in the night and ceased not. Literally, what the psalmist is telling us here is that my pain and my suffering was unrelenting. I could not escape the torment that I was facing. I was in a circumstance that was outside of my ability to control, and try as I may, I could not mitigate the pain. There was nothing that would touch the wound or the sore in my heart, the brokenness of my heart and my soul. And the Bible tells us here that his soul refused to be comforted, which tells me that not only had he been offended, not only was he brokenhearted, but emotionally he was a wreck. He was absolutely devastated. And today, I might be talking to someone in this room or perhaps somewhere around the world listening in via the internet whose heart is broken, and you can identify with the words of the psalmist today who said, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. It doesn't seem that reading a book or going to quote a verse per se, or maybe listening to the music that used to be a comfort to your soul, or calling the friends that used to encourage you when you were down, is doing anything to try to lift your spirits. And now the circumstance that you find yourself in is the day of trouble has come, and you have unrelenting pain with no end in sight, and you have emotional devastation, and you just don't know what to do or where to go. Unfortunately, we live in a troubled culture. And the world today is far too ready to medicate issues that need to be dealt with spiritually. I believe that we find a world of people that are going after drugs to try to numb themselves from the pain that is absolutely unrelenting. We find a world of people that are chasing after alcoholism to try to somehow forget about the torment, the raging torrent of emotions within their soul, because it seems like their soul refuses to be comforted. There are people that could give testimony today of things having taken place in your life that would cause us all to be emotionally impacted. There are things that you have gone through that have brought trouble into your life. And as you faced a day of trouble, it seemed like there was unrelenting pain and emotional devastation. And your soul cries out, but somehow it refuses to be comforted. There are times where we get this idea that nobody knows what we're going through. Nobody understands. Nobody cares. I've thought that. But do you know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? There hath no temptation. That word temptation means trial or tribulation. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And do you know what that means? It means that whatever it is that you're facing, though the color, the flavor may be just a little different, someone else in the world is going through it also. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Commonly, people are being devastated. Commonly, people are being wrought with pain that seems unrelenting. And commonly, sad to say, people are dealing with it in carnal ways to try to somehow salve the pain, mitigate the pain that only Jesus can take away. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, and I oft quote this verse because it is such a comfort. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means Jesus is touched with what touches us. But was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. What time do we need it? In the day of trouble. When the day of trouble shows up at your door and you are in pain, unrelenting, and you are devastated emotionally, and it seems like you're in a dark cloud or a pit and there's no way out of it, and your soul refuses to be comforted, realize this, that Jesus Christ, the lover of your soul, is touched with what touches you, and what you're going through, He's been through. And He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I want you to know, we often use bumper sticker theology as rhetoric to help someone else and sometimes fail to apply it to ourselves. But I want you to know this, that God will not allow you to go through anything that He hasn't first approved. Do you know that? And that is not going to serve a purpose in your life, because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to His purpose. And it is all to the end that we might be brought into conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we're in the day of trouble, we can't seem to get focus on any of that. All we know is that it hurts and we want it to quit hurting. All we know is that we're emotionally devastated, and our soul, no matter what we may try, refuses to find comfort. Have you been there? And so, it says in verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. You know, there are people that will come to you and they'll give you a pat phrase. Well, brother, God won't ever give you any more than you can handle. How many of you ever heard that one? How many ever wanted to punch their lights out when they told you? Me too. You know? Not. You know how much I can handle apart from God? Nothing. And neither can you. Well, brother, all things work together for good. Just hang in there. It's going to work out for the good. How many of you found great comfort when they told you that? Me either. Imagine. My soul refused to be comforted with the rhetoric of a vain Christian who was telling me, oh, well, all things work together for good, brother. Well, God will never give you more than you can handle. Why, I oughta. Can I get a witness on that one? You can't do it, because the Bible says a pastor can't be a striker or a brawler, either one. So as we read in verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. Now, none of us ever do any of that stuff, do we? Oh, Lord, why me? What have I done? Lord, what are you doing? And we begin to complain. And can I tell you something? I believe that's a natural reaction that we go through. But not, look what accompanied this complaint. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Do you know what happens when we start enumerating all of the myriad of things that are against us? We psych ourselves right out. We get overwhelmed, right? Some of you have probably seen the movie The Princess Bride. If you haven't, it's an enjoyable family film. But the king, Humperdinck was his name, King Humperdinck, or Prince Humperdinck, or whatever it was, he was talking to one of his men, his military commander, and the guy asked him, "Do you want to go down into the pit of despair with me?" They were going to torture the hero in the movie. Some of you remember this, don't you? And do you want to come down and see the torture today? And he's like, "No, you know, I have my wife's murder to plan, Gilder to frame for it, my country's 500th anniversary to plan. I'm swamped." You know, he started enumerating all these things, and the guy said, "Well, if you haven't got your help, you haven't got anything." And he, you know, was answered with the same rhetoric, you know, that we often hear. And you know what? He started enumerating all these things that he had to do, and he was overwhelmed. Do you know what? Sometimes what happens is, look, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed, the psalmist said. Say, what do you mean, preacher? What we do is we start listing all the things that are wrong. And it just overwhelms us like a wave. It just wipes us out. Any one of us here today could sit down and make a list that would psych anybody out. True or false? How many of you could make that list? Huh? Some of you have some stuff on your list you like to put on somebody else's list, right? I've got this problem, and I've got this problem. And, you know, somebody will tell you, "Well, you know what you need to do, brother? You need to count your blessings. Name them one by one, you know, and that's going to take care of it." No, and even then, your soul will refuse to be comforted, right? Oh, you know, you don't want to come to church on Thanksgiving when you're overwhelmed with complaints about all the trouble you have in the day of trouble, and have somebody say, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings," you know. And then you say, "Shut up." Because when the day of trouble comes, a lot of times what we do is we complain. And the more we complain, the more overwhelmed we become. Now, we can read through the Psalms and we can find places where David brought his complaint to the Lord. And he talked to God about it. And I believe that certainly we must have the kind of relationship where we are honest before the Lord. We come and speak our hearts. It's not to say that we can't come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't understand this. Why is this happening?" Some people say, "Well, you know, ours is not to wonder why, ours is but to do or die." And I got to tell you something. God wants you to know ultimately what He's accomplishing in your life. You may not know all the answers to every question of the ages. You may not know why everything happens that happens. But you can rest confidently in knowing that there is a purpose in everything that God does for you. For the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 that all things are for your sake. And the Bible tells us by that God does nothing to us. He does everything for us today. And when the day of trouble comes, realize that God is not doing something to you, that God is allowing something into your life for your benefit. And we complain, and what happens? It says, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking." You know what that means? I'm sleepless. I get no sleep at night. I lay awake, tossing and turning and worrying about these problems. I have stress-related health issues, and I think that most of us could probably identify with that. I know that I can, and there's all kinds of companies out there that are making a fortune off of people who are afflicted with stress-related symptoms. Neck aches and back aches and headaches and migraines and blurred vision and high blood pressure and hypertension and a host of other issues that people face. They lay awake at night, tossing and turning, refusing to be comforted, and they're stressed out and overwhelmed. And they complain. They were sleep. The psalmist was sleepless. He was overwhelmed. And it goes on to say, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. You ever get to the place where when someone says, what's eating you? What's wrong with you? It's easier sometimes to say, nothing. Because really, you don't even know where to start. And if you did start, you wouldn't know where to finish. And it probably wouldn't make sense. You don't know what to say, so you just don't say anything. Have you been there? I'm glad when we come to that point in our lives as Christians that the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 that the Holy Spirit prayeth for us. For we know not how to pray, when we know not how to pray for ourselves with groanings which cannot be uttered. And sometimes when we come to the place where we don't even know what to say, we don't even know how to express it, that the Spirit of God will carry intercessory prayer into the very throne room of heaven. And He'll sense the groaning of your heart, and He will bring the petition of your soul into the very presence of God for you because He loves you. And in that very passage, we find comfort in knowing that nothing will ever separate us from that love. And so we see, secondly, the complaint. He complained and was overwhelmed. You know, if we can see that complaining is ultimately going to overwhelm us, why would we want to continue it? Is that a fair question? If enumerating all the things that are wrong is going to psych you out, why enumerate them? Amen. We're going to have to address them. We can't run away from it. Our sore is running in the night, unrelenting. We've got pain that won't quit. And we're complaining about it. And you know what? Just constantly rehearsing all the things that are a problem doesn't fix the problem. It overwhelms us. Sometimes people come and they want to tell me everything that's wrong with the church. And before I know it, man, I'm psyched out. I'm thinking, we got to fix this and this and this. We're not doing this right. We got to do this better. And before I know it, I'm overwhelmed. I'm thinking, man, maybe the wrong guy's here. Maybe something's wrong. You know, I get overwhelmed in my spirit. And then what I have to do is I have to get my focus back on where it belongs instead of enumerating all of my complaints and going through all the things that are wrong. I need to remember the Lord like the psalmist did and His goodness. Thirdly, would you notice in verse number 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of trouble, he cried unto the Lord. He said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. What did he do? He cried unto the Lord with his voice. Unfortunately, it takes trouble for most of us to finally seek God. Amen? It takes the day of trouble to arrive on the calendar for us to finally come to the point where we'll bend a knee, a humble knee before God in prayer and seek the Lord. There's a lesson in this, friend, and that is that we should not have to wait until trouble comes to seek the Lord. But when trouble comes that is so painful we don't know how to deal with it and we're emotionally overwhelmed and the thing seems to be getting larger instead of smaller, friend, the only place that you can turn is the only one who can fix it. And that's to God. And we see thirdly the cry in the day of trouble. Friend, cry out to God, because here's what he said. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. And the Bible says, He gave ear unto me. Do you know what God will do? He'll listen. I wish I had a nickel for every time that my wife said, Are you listening to me? And you know, I could tell her every word she just said. You want me to quote verbatim every word that you just said? But the problem was I wasn't listening to her. I heard her, but I wasn't listening to her. Ladies, do you know what that means? I'm glad you understand it. Because most of us guys don't. You know, the only time in our lives where we can multitask effectively is when you're talking to us. You know, the whole right brain, left brain thing, women can do multiple things at one time. It amazes me, literally. Linda can talk on the phone, put on her makeup, change a diaper, and, you know, fix a meal all at the same time. Hopefully not get the diaper in the meal. But she can do it all at one time, you know, and she pulls it off effortlessly. I struggle to do one thing at a time. I mean, if I'm changing a diaper, don't try to talk to me on the phone. I'm going to get a stiff back, a stiff neck. I'm going to drop the phone 14 times, you know, and it's just not going to work. I'm not going to understand what you said. But the one time, ladies, when we can multitask is when you're talking to us. We can listen to you and read the paper or watch the ball game, and we got it. No? Oh, sorry. Maybe it was something else we could do. But, you know, there are times where we want to talk to someone about things and we just feel like there's nobody in the world that will even listen to us that cares. But the wonderful message here is that when you cry unto the Lord, He will give ear unto you. He will listen. Because you know why? He loves it when His kids come running to Him. You know, I've got 6 kids. And this week, Jonathan, he's going to be 21 in a hiccup. And, you know, he called me because he had a need. He wasn't calling me because he wanted money. He just wanted some advice. He was dealing with an issue, an adult issue. And he called me and said, Dad, what do you think I should do? You can't imagine how gratified I was that he called me in the day of his trouble. Because fathers love to hear from their kids when they're in trouble. We like to hear from them anytime. We like it when they don't have trouble. But do you know what your Heavenly Father wants you to do when you're in trouble? He wants you to come to Him. You know why? He'll listen. And He cares when nobody else does. And when you feel like nobody understands or cares, listen. I've had a lot of people say, I've been treated better by the unsaved than I have been the saved. Now, you probably never heard that one. But can I tell you something? That unsaved person didn't really know what to help you with. They just let you say it. And you're doing a discredit by speaking against the people of God. Doing discredit to the Lord and His people. You know, if my parents were offensive to me, I wouldn't shame them by telling you about it, because I'd want to honor my parents to you. And if my brothers and sisters in the Lord didn't treat me right, I wouldn't shame their father by telling everybody in the world about it and giving Christianity a bad name. But sad to say, Christians are just people. You remember that bumper sticker you put on a long time ago on the 78 Chevette to hide the Bondo? Christians aren't what? Perfect. They're just. Oh, yeah. Why do you expect them to be perfect then? Oh, yeah. You forgot that 78 Chevette. No, you forgot the truth. The Lord will listen. He's perfect, and He does care. Fourthly, see the consideration, and we'll move quickly. In verse 5, he said, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. He began to consider the works of God. And in that consideration, he began to ask some questions and consider in his spirit some things. He said, will the Lord cast off forever? What's the answer to that? What is it? Will the Lord cast off forever? No. And will He be favorable no more? No. Is His mercy clean gone forever? No. Doth His promise fail forevermore? No. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? No. Hath He in anger shed up His tender mercies? No. And so he began to consider his God and the nature, the unchanging nature of His loving God. He began to consider His might to speak and the waters and the waves obey Him, and to speak and the clouds will pour out water to demonstrate His own power. And he began to consider the mercy of His God, not only the might of His God, but the mercy of His God to deliver him in the day of trouble, and to realize, you know what God has done? He will do, because He never changes. Did you hear me? What God has done, He will do, because God never changes. And so he began to consider His might, the power of His God. He began to consider the mercy of His God, and that God is gracious to all those that find themselves in the day of trouble. And he realized what the psalmist said of old, that God is nigh unto all them that are of a broken heart. And sometimes we come to the Lord and we don't know what to say, and our emotions are devastated and we're overwhelmed with unrelenting pain and we don't know what to do. But I want to tell you, in those moments where you open your mouth and you don't even know what to say, God is nigh unto all them that are of a broken heart. God is there. And sometimes when we don't even know cognitively that we should draw nigh unto God when we're wounded, God will draw nigh to you. And He'll listen to the cry of your voice. There have been times in my life where I've been devastated. And I can remember coming into church with such a broken heart and hearing the hymns that for years comforted my heart. And when I heard them, I opened my mouth to sing, and guess what? Not one sound came out. And the tears would just come. And I'd open my mouth, and nothing for months. Try to sing, and I couldn't sing. Couldn't get the words out without just breaking down. There are times during the course of those songs, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. I'd hear that song and I'd try to sing it and I couldn't. But God was there. He was nigh unto that brokenhearted man. And I sensed Him in my spirit. And I felt the comfort in my soul when I considered Him, His might and His mercy. But he began to consider His majesty. And when we consider His majesty, understand that His majesty is sovereign. And as sovereign, He rules. But praise God, not only can He rule, but He can overrule. He can overrule. You say, I've got trouble in my life, Lord. And the Lord, who is the ruler of all that is, when we consider His majesty, not only rules our life, but He can overrule that which is troubling your life and give you peace? And would you for a moment consider that He who rules can overrule, and today see His might and understand His mercies, that they fail not, but realize His majesty, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, can overrule the problems in your life. Number five today, notice with me the communion, because in verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. There was a point in time where this consideration brought him to the point where he remembered the song in the night, where that communion in his heart led him to search his own heart. David, the Bible tells us, was a man after God's own heart. And literally what that means is that David sought to know the heart, the mind, and the will of God. He continually sought after it. It didn't mean David was perfect. It didn't mean that David was always right in every motive. It didn't mean that his heart was always pure. But what it meant was that when he failed, he wanted to know, God, what would you have me to do? He sought after the heart and the mind of God. And would to God, when the day of trouble comes and we finally come to the place of communion in our own spirit, we would say, God, what would you have me to do? What area of my life is it that you're working on, God? And would you commune in your heart and let God do a restorative work, a healing work, as you commune with Him? And what will happen is you will remember the songs in the night. And in the moments when the trouble comes and you begin to cast your gaze upon that merciful Savior, that mighty Savior, that majestic Savior that can overrule, then the song will come back to your lips, and you'll realize that the darkest hour of your night is just before the dawning, and the dawn of a solution is now come, because Jesus, the lover of your soul, is going to bring a song back to your lips, and He'll give you a song in the night because He loves you. And friend, when communion with God ensues, then you'll begin to allow Him to search you thoroughly, and you'll begin to seek His face intently, and you'll begin to sing joyfully in the night, in the day of trouble. And then, I want you to see this. Lastly, the comfort. The Bible says in verse number 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock in the hand of Moses and Aaron. And here we find this man in the day of his trouble, once he stopped complaining, and once he started communing and cried out to his God, he began to remember the wonder of his Savior. He began to remember all that God did, and he realized what God has done, He will do, because God never changes. And what he found was hope in the midst of despair. Hope in the midst of despair. Do you know what? The trouble that you're in, the things that you face, God knows. Your heart's broken, He's near. Seek God. cry out to God and through the gloom of despair find hope, because what God has done, He will do for you because He loves you. If you were the only person on planet Earth that needed to be saved, Jesus would have come and died for you because He loves you that much. And just like we want to comfort our own children, so too a perfect, loving Heavenly Father wants to comfort His kids, and He wants to give you hope. And you know, one day I got to tell you something. All the pain of life will seem as nothing. I want you to know something. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it with me. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Friend, I want to tell you, there's a message of hope alive today. And in the day of your trouble, there's hope. There's hope. There's coming a day when the day of trouble will be over. There's coming a day when the gloom of night will be past. There's coming a day when the complaints will be praises. What a day that will be. Would you find comfort in knowing that what God has done for others, He'll do it for you. And as we conclude this message today, I want to tell you this. There's hope. But you've got to cry out to Him. And in order to do that, you've got to humble your heart and realize that you can't fix it. You've got to take your hands off the proverbial wheel and let God take over and be sovereign in your life. And there's not coming a day of joy for those that reject that. Only the promise of more sorrow and more pain. So today I beg you, if you've never entered into communion and relationship with the lover of your soul, Jesus Christ, today, would you cry out to your Redeemer? In this passage, He's called the God of Jacob, which means that He'll be the God to liars and deceivers. He'll love you no matter who you are. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God and the hope that we find in it. And Lord, there are many that came here and realize that today is a day of trouble for them. And Lord, they remember God and they were troubled because there is no relationship there. And I pray, Lord, that You would work in every heart. for Christians that are suffering. May they realize you're there and you'll listen if they would just cry out to you in the day of trouble. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that know thee not as Savior. May today they cry out to you and find hope forever. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.